There's a new study out that ranks the top hospitals in the United States out of 405 hospitals. The thing is that when they got the top 10, some of the nation's leading hospitals are not on the list. Dr. Mark Chasson is president of the Joint Commission. That's the hospital certification organization that released these new rankings. And here he explains how the commission measured positive treatment outcomes at these hospitals.
The measures fall into four categories: treatments for patients with heart attack, treatments for patients with heart failure, treatments for patients with pneumonia, and a variety of treatments for patients who are undergoing surgery.
And according to this joint commission and Dr. Mark Chasson, the best hospitals use the best treatments the most often.
We recognize that improvement has been happening across the country on these measures, but there are some hospitals that have achieved extraordinary levels of performance, better than 95% performance on all of these excellent measures of quality.
But here's the catch. The best hospitals that are listed in that annual survey from the U.S. News & World Report are not among those hospitals that the doctor's talking about there. I'm talking about places like the Cleveland Clinic, the Mayo Center, Johns Hopkins. So what on earth makes a good hospital? Joining us now, Dr. Peter Pronovost, professor at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, director of the Armstrong Institute of Patient Safety. And Peter, actually, the doctor created these checklists. It was a system that was made famous by Atul Gawande, who we've spoken to repeatedly on this program in his book, The Checklist Manifesto. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning.
You know, it's very confusing when you see all these lists that rank hospitals, because we're talking about a very, very complex system, and it almost feels like lists don't really work. I mean, for example, they measured things like patients that had heart attacks or heart failures, but there's only certain level one or level two trauma centers that treat those things, right?
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, a good hospital is one that gets you well at the lowest cost. And you could drive into any town in America and you'll see some hospital on somebody's top 100 list. The problem is there's no standard, so the public doesn't know what it's being measured on. A couple of things to think about in this study, Celeste, is, you know, overall hospitals improved in the extent to which they give these evidence-based therapies, and so we're good for that. Also, the average hospital performed 96.7% of the time. So, I mean, hospitals are performing exceedingly well, and where you cut that threshold and say you're above something, you know, some of these hospitals may have been at 94%, but overall they performed exceedingly well. And for some of the heart attack measures, all hospitals were at 98%.
Well, you know, I mean, one of the things that's been surprising people about this particular study and these rankings is that there's a number of smaller, say, regional hospitals that made it very high on the list, whereas places like the Mayo Clinic and Johns Hopkins aren't on it. But what occurs to me is that people going to places like Johns Hopkins are among the sickest in the country. You don't go to the Mayo Clinic because you don't feel well. You go because perhaps you're terminal. Maybe you're looking for a miracle. I mean, the Mayo Clinic, you travel 1,000 miles because you were told your cancer was inoperable and you're hoping that Mayo will treat you. That's a different level of patient.
Well, you're absolutely right, Celeste. And I think a lot of people were surprised to say none of the U.S. News and World Report's top 20 hospitals were on this list. And, you know, what that says is they're probably measuring very different things. And indeed, they are. This study measured use of recommended therapies or evidence-based therapies for a handful of diseases, some things like giving antibiotics on time. What it didn't measure was the results of care, that is the outcomes that you get when patients are ultimately treated. You know, for example, we don't know if many of these hospitals have high bloodstream infection rates. We've shown in our work across the United States that high-performing hospitals could nearly eliminate these. And it's an outcome, as I'm sure you would care about, that the patients say, okay, well, the outcome is really important to me. And that measure isn't on this list, and yet I suspect it's quite important to patients.
We're speaking with Dr. Peter Pronovost, a professor at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, director of the Armstrong Institute of Patient Safety. And something that you know a lot about is teaching hospitals, and that's something that seems to come up in this list, since so many large teaching hospitals aren't in the top 10. And is that an issue? I mean, teaching hospital, everything in a teaching hospital sometimes takes longer simply because it is a teaching hospital. It can be more frustrating. Are there more mistakes made at a teaching hospital?
Well, so great question. Certainly teaching hospitals are much more complex. And as you stated, you know, one of our missions is to innovate, is to advance science and advance technology. And in some senses, that has to be balanced with this approach to safety, which is standardized, everybody do the same thing, you know, a much more of a mechanistic approach. And if we did that, we'd never innovate and find the next new therapy or push and get the next new surgical technique. So we need to do both. Now, the data says that it's confusing. Some academic medical centers seem to perform much better than average hospitals. In other areas, perhaps because they treat sicker patients or because they are more innovative, they may have a greater risk for making an error. But it's important to recognize that the measures of this report are things that academic medical centers should do and are doing routinely. I mean, so they're giving aspirin and beta blockers. And, you know, when everybody performs 96% of the time, and that, I think, is something the public should be proud of, but it's kind of hard to discriminate then, okay, who's labeled as the top 400. Because certainly to say, to not count some of the U.S.'s top academic centers among even the top 400 hospitals probably strikes some as a little odd.
Yeah, and Dr. Peter Pronovost, a professor at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, director of the Armstrong Institute of Patient Safety. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
He's talking about a new study from the Joint Commission that ranks the top 405 hospitals in the United States and omits from that list some of the leading hospitals in the country.